Gospel Nuggets, West Monroe, Louisiana presents Strength for Today. And now with our message, missionary evangelist Huey Diffie.
Thanks for joining with us today. And we're speaking on assurance of salvation comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are now looking at Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 30 through 33. The scripture says, "And the times of this ignorance, Old Testament times, God winked at. But now, in the 21st century, commandeth all men, whether they're rich or poor, all men everywhere, whether in the city or the jungle, to repent, to change their mind about it all, about themselves and about God and about Jesus, and knowing that He will save them." Now, why does God want people to repent or change their mind? Verse 31 says, "Because He hath appointed a day in thee, which He, God, will judge the world." That is, He will judge this world of people. How will He judge the world? In righteousness. Now, what is the standard by which God judges the people of the world in righteousness? Listen carefully. By that man. By that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. So God will judge the world of people in righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He hath ordained. You see, Jesus is the perfect standard by which we are judged. Or if we're saved, we will not be in that judgment. But if a person is not saved, then they will be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, not according to another person. They will not be judged by what other people are doing or by some religious standard, but by the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture goes on to say, "Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men." Now, how did He give assurance to all men? Notice, "in that He hath raised Him from the dead." You see, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is very important. If your God has not been resurrected, you do not have assurance of a better life after death. But when Paul preached this message, verse 32 says, "And when they," the religious leaders, "heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter." In other words, they did not believe it. Verse 33 says, "So Paul departed from among them." When the people rejected the resurrection, the Apostle Paul left them. When a person rejects a resurrection, they reject the Savior, salvation, a new life, a new body, and all hope of a future state of blessedness. Jesus' resurrection sets Him apart from all man-made deities. The gods that men have made are sitting on pedestals, cankering and crumbling. But Jesus is alive. His empty tomb remains as a proof of His bodily resurrection. The stable where Jesus was born is gone. What happened to it is unknown. The carpentry shop where Jesus grew up is gone. This Pilate's hall where Jesus was tried in a kangaroo court is gone. The cross on which Jesus died is gone. The tomb where Jesus' body lay remains, but thank God it is empty. And Jesus' empty tomb is a perpetual reminder that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and is alive in heaven to represent believers before the throne of the Heavenly Father. Jesus' resurrection is the greatest achievement known to mortal man. No other person has ever known a resurrection in the same manner as Jesus was resurrected. Enoch and Elijah went to heaven without dying, but they were translated. Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus were raised from the dead, but they had to die again. Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the dead, never to die again. Today he is risen from the dead and sits a victor over the dark domain. All of the gods of this world's religious system, and all of the man-made and self-appointed prophets, and all of the founders of the religions of this world system have died and remained dead. Not one of them rose from the dead. But Jesus, our Savior, died, was buried, and rose bodily from the dead by his own power, never to die again. He is risen from among the dead and is alive today. We Christians are saved by and serve a risen Savior. He is not enclosed within the walls of a musty tomb. Now, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection reveals to us the quality of life God has for us and the free salvation that he has provided for us. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Our Heavenly Father loved us. He loved the world. This is a love out of his will. This is not a mushy type thing, but it's a love of his will. That he gave his only begotten, unique, one-of-a-kind Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did for us. He willingly, voluntarily laid down his life for us. But there cannot be a resurrection without a death. Listen to Romans 5th chapter, verse 6 and verse 8. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, at the right time, the time of God's choosing, Christ died for the ungodly. Listen, he not only died just for the sinner, he died for the ungodly sinner. But God commendeth, God exhibited, God proved his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if God loved us, there should be proof of his love. That Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection proves that he loves us. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive his love? Because he laid down his life for us in a sacrificial death. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life for us. Love is a drawing force, and God is reaching out to us with love. As you're listening to this message, God is reaching for you. Now, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection reveals that God has a purpose for us. Listen to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 2. Beloved, now, at this present moment, are we the sons of God? Listen, if we've been born again, if we've been born from above, if we have received Jesus, we've trusted him, committed our souls to him, and we're relying on him to save us, then at this very moment, we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, the songwriter wrote, oh, to be like thee. You see, there is a better man, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a better plan, Christ in you. There is a better way, God's way, the way of faith, the Christian way. There is a better day, eternity's unending day. And there is a better place, and that better place is heaven. In heaven we will be like him. The hope of the Christian is to be like Jesus and to be with him forever. Listen to Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 through 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, a body of low estate, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, a body of honor and dignity. And he will do that according to the effectual working, whereby he is able, he has a power, even to subdue all things unto himself. Listen, Jesus has the power to bring all things into subjection, even our vile bodies. Thank God for Jesus. Listen, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection reveals the power of God. Romans 1:4 says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The word power speaks of miraculous power. It is a power of one who works miracles. And Jesus has miracle working power. He has power to accomplish that which God sent Jesus to do and that which pleases God. We must remember that the scripture says through his power, he's declared to be the Son of God, and he's declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness. There are two things that prove Jesus has all power. That is his holiness. That's number one. You try to live a holy life without the power of God, and you learn the weakness of human nature. Any person who tries to live a holy life apart from the power of God will surely fail. There is his holiness and his resurrection. The resurrection proves Jesus is a powerful Son of God who can save us to the uttermost. Jesus' resurrection declares him to be the powerful Son of God who has all power. Jesus is omnipotent. That is, he has all power. He has power to redeem. Listen to Isaiah, the 44th chapter, verse 22. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Listen, his death through the shedding of his blood took care of our sins. His bodily resurrection took care of us. For full salvation, we need his death and resurrection. Now, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is God's guarantee that you, yes, you, can be saved. Listen to Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 10. But what saith it? What saith the word? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, the Bible is a word of faith. Faith is acting on revealed truth. It is not a funny feeling. It's not just being in a trance or something. Faith is acting on revealed truth. When God speaks it to your heart, act on it. That's faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, but with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We may never understand it all with our head, but when the heart understands enough to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Verse 33, but whosoever, you listen now, whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. If we deny his rightful place in our hearts, he will deny us a place in heaven with him. Do not deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Many years ago, in the United States, there was a man by the name of Aaron Burr, Jr. He was a third vice president of the United States to a president named Thomas Jefferson. One evening, a granddaughter of Aaron Burr gave her heart to Christ in an evangelistic meeting. And she said to her grandfather, "Oh, I wish you were a Christian too." And this grandfather replied, "When I was a young man, I went to an evangelistic meeting. I felt my need of God's mercy and forgiveness and knew that I should give my heart to Christ. But I walked out without doing it. I stood under the stars and looked up toward heaven and said, 'God, if you don't bother me anymore, I'll never bother you.' But honey, God has kept his part of that bargain. He has never bothered me again. Now it's too late for me to bother him." This man lived a misspent life, cheating and trickery and treason against the United States of America. Don't you be an Aaron Burr. As the Lord said about Judas Iscariot, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. There was a preacher some years ago, preached on the love of God in an evangelistic meeting. In one meeting, there was a rough, wicked coal miner who had a vile temper. He was a heavy drinker of liquor, and when drunk, he mistreated his wife and children. His name was, they called him Ike. Morehouse, the preacher, was notified that this man was attending the meeting and that many were praying that he would be saved. Morehouse preached with all the fervor of his heart, but the man did not respond. After the meeting, the man went out the door and disappeared. Those who were anxious for the man to be saved told Morehouse he had failed to reach a town's biggest sinner. But what those men did not know, and what the preacher did not know, the man later, that he had gone straight home. He kissed his wife and tenderly gathered his two children into his arms, something he had not done for years. And weeping, he prayed a prayer that his mother had taught him. This is the prayer: "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity." The salvation that God provided through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection reached this man, saved him, and gave him a new life, a resurrected life. Now, in love, God is reaching for you. Jesus not only died for you, he died in your place, and he died as you. So now you come to Jesus by faith, simple childlike faith. And faith is acting on revealed truth. You've heard the truth that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, and he will save you. So now you come to Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead to save you. And by your coming, you're saying publicly that you're trusting Jesus to save you. And Jesus will do for you what he did for that rough, wicked, vile-tempered, drunken miner. He will save you completely. Invest his own eternal, everlasting, endless, resurrected life in you. And write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will be saved for time and eternity. But you must turn away from self and turn to Jesus. Do it now, in this very moment. Bow your will to God's will and pray, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins the best I can, the best I know how. I repent of my sins, and I trust you to save me. Save me now, Lord Jesus, I pray, and help me to live my new life for you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen."
Gospel Nuggets offers a free Bible correspondence program. For more information, just write to Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292. That's Gospel Nuggets, 6241 Jonesboro Road, West Monroe, Louisiana, 71292.